Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, you did not see the next generation. You saw the now generation. They're alive and well now, aren't they? That is so good. Isn't it good to see the young people on fire for God? You know, what they look for is, they hear people say, well, you know, you need to be on fire for God. But the ones that a lot of times it says you need to be on fire for God is a little cooled off. So they need to see the model. You expect great things out of the generation, any generation. Well, you're going to have to model what you expect. Otherwise, don't do as I say, do as I do. You know, you ever heard that one? You know, I heard that growing up. Said, don't do as I do. I want you to do as I say. And I said, okay, Mom, I'll be glad to do that. That's after I felt the pain. You know, got the love of God through my mom. I got a lot of them when I was growing up, but I didn't get enough. I deserved more of those things than I got when I was growing up. So there was some mercy that was given, but last week was a phenomenal week. It was Mother's Day, and we celebrated all the mothers and all you ladies, and we're just so grateful to see God doing things through you. And if the platform was full, did anybody count? Not anybody counted. You know, your pastor didn't count either. All I know, it was a bunch. You know, it was a bunch of people. But anyway, the speakers that we had were phenomenal. They are every time we do that. They did such a great job, and we just wanted to say thank you again for those that shared your heart and your testimony with us, and with the congregation. It was just a powerful thing. Before I get into the message, I'm going to get back into the series that we started: the fall, the freedom, and the fullness. And we talked about the fall 2 weeks ago. But before we do that, today they are in the Capitol, they are rededicating the nation back to God. And so we can't be there physically, but we are there spiritually. So let's join them today. Would you do that? Let's all stand, and if you don't mind, what we like to do is get in groups. Just get in some groups, 5, 6. Make sure you introduce yourself. Make sure everybody knows who you are. And now, listen. When you pray for this nation, listen. Like we said a while ago, don't just do as I say. But we got to model what we're praying for the nation to do. We have to model that in our own lives. So as you dedicate the nation to God, dedicate yourself to God. Would you do that? Don't wait on me. Go. Start praying. Father, you hear the prayers of these people. Don't stop. Just continue to pray. Father, you hear the prayers of these saints, of these people, joining in with the ones that are in Washington and the ones all over the world that is dedicating this nation to you. Lord, it's a rededication service. We give it back to you, Lord. We've made a mess out of things that only you can straighten out. Man can't fix this, but you can. So we give this nation to you, Lord. We dedicate it to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our leaders, cover them, watch over them, give them wisdom, give them discernment, and give them godly direction. Let them hear you plainly and hear you clearly. Lord, that this nation will once again rise up, speak the name of God, speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and speak the purpose of why we're here to glorify you. We ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that on behalf of the nation, of that we have done things as a nation that did not please you, did not satisfy you, it grieved you in the spirit. And we repent on behalf of the nation for the wrongs that we have done. And we ask you now, Lord, set us, refresh us with your presence. As we dedicate our own lives, we dedicate this nation, we dedicate our families. So here we are, Lord. Speak to us. Use us. Send us to whatever you want us to do. We love you. And may this nation magnify and glorify your name. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for getting in groups. Amen. So today we will be sharing a few things. We won't. I doubt if we're going to get through all of this. Could I have some water, please, Brenda? But we're going to get started, but we might not be able to finish the freedom part. Excuse me. We might not get through all the freedom part. Listen, you could teach hours and hours, hours and days on the amount of freedom that he's given us. But when we look at this thing about freedom, the fall, the freedom, and the fullness, God bless you, brother. We need to understand that we were created at the very beginning in God's image, but we were not created to be sinful people. God didn't create us to be a sinful people. He created us to be a people that was in full worship and full fellowship with him. That's what we were created for. But the fall, the sin from Adam, mankind, caused all of us to be born in sin. So when he fell, we all fell. And we talked about that last week, but we need to make sure that we all understand that humanity is God's masterpiece. We sing a song here that of all the things that you could have chosen, I think Dan is one that sings it, of all the things that you could have chosen to live in, you chose us. Isn't that something like that? You chose me. Of all the things that God chose to live in, to manifest himself, to dwell in, and not a box anymore, guess where it's at? Right here. He's right here. Of all the things he chose us to dwell in. Humanity is his masterpiece. It really is. But since the fall, we have made a mess of things in our lives. And because we were sinners, born in sin, we could not enter the presence of God. That's the reason Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come and suffer and die and be punished, beaten, treated cruelly, and punished for our sin, buried and resurrected, for us to be able to be forgiven. Nothing you and I could do could ever do that. We're at the mercy of God to be able to have our lives made new. We didn't have a way to do it. We couldn't figure out a way to do it. So he did it. God had that plan from the very beginning. He said before the world was created, the Lamb, Jesus, was crucified before the world. So it was part of God's plan the whole time. We're forgiven and we are a child of God. If you're born again, tell your neighbor, I am a child of God. Go ahead and tell him. Over in John, verse 8, it says, John 8, 32 says, for you know the truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, is that the truth? When you become one with the truth, the word know is to become one with, to become intimate with, not to know in your head, but to become intimate with in your entire life. In other words, it's part of you. When that happens, he said, you're free. And whatever truth you know, you're going to have freedom. And we're going to be talking about freedom today. And then John 8, 32 says, now if the Son therefore has made you free, you are free indeed. You know, y'all remember the teaching in it. Indeed is a legal term saying what? It's a legal term saying once the gavel has fallen, it is a done deal, cannot be revoked or reversed. It's indeed, you're free indeed. Oh, that is worth it all to understand that we are free indeed. But that comes through knowing the truth, knowing Jesus Christ. But the biblical concept of freedom when it comes to Christ and being in Christ, that word freedom a lot of times has been misinterpreted, has been misunderstood as being a license to do whatever you want to do. So you've got a license to sin. Now listen. Your license to sin was given to you as a free will. You have to understand that. You can choose not to, or you can choose to. But see, when we are lost, we're under the power of sin. So whatever we chose, it really wasn't that good because we were not in Christ at the time. So we need to understand that this thing of freedom is not the will to do whatever we want to do. That is not the freedom. It's been misunderstood as that a lot of times. But what it is, it's an empowered grace to live exactly as God has designed you and I to live. There's a design in the birth, the being born again. There's a design for us to be able to have the grace of God inside us. We do have the grace of God inside us to be able to do what we were designed to do from the very beginning and to fulfill whatever God wants us to do in his will and in his word. We have the freedom to do that. That's a freedom. It's like when Paul and Silas, when it was in the jail, in prison, in the dungeon, and you heard this verse, and about midnight, what happened? They started singing. Started singing praises to God. About midnight, they started singing. Where were they? In the dungeon. In chains. Stocks and bonds and chains, and in the darkest part of the dungeon. That was where they were. And and about midnight, what did they start doing? Singing praises to God. So what were they even in the dungeon? Free. Free people. And they began to demonstrate that freedom even in the circumstance. We struggle with all of that. We struggle with this thing called, I'm free, I'm born again, I'm free. And we struggle in our walk. And then when we don't do everything right, we wonder, where is this freedom in Christ that I'm supposed to have, not to sin? Am I talking to anybody? Where is the free? Where is this at? Where is this? It's almost like, okay, I heard the message, I heard the gospel, I heard the good news, and I heard this, and I surrendered my life to Christ. And here I am, just a little bit later, I'm struggling with this thing called sin. Because in our minds, we think we're free. Listen to me. We think we are free of sin. He didn't say that. He said, you're free from sin. Oh, even being born again, we have these struggles that we go through, and we see the divine tension from what he has said in our freedom. And we're going to go through some of those, what he has said in our freedom. And then the tension comes, okay, here's what he said. And then here's the struggle that I'm having of transforming to that. So there's the divine tension. Here's the truth, but this is not what I'm living. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, well, today, I honestly believe God is really wanting us to get it across by the Spirit of God to be able to understand what is freedom. Now, we know about freedom in the nation. We know all about that. We've read the history. But see, the thing we don't understand is that long before America came about, freedom came about through Christ. Long before. True freedom is through Jesus. But if we fail to understand, if we fail to grasp, if we fail to begin to know intimately the truth about freedom, then we will not be an indeed people. We will still have the struggles and we'll still have the failures, and we don't understand positional truth. That is truth about our position versus the condition that we may be living. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we're gonna go through some things, and probably won't get through all of them. But we need to see that in the midst of all of our doubts, all of our shame, everything, the defeats. You know, even after being saved, has anybody ever experienced shame? Even after your salvation. Oh, we got some honest people. Anybody ever experienced failures since you've been saved? Anybody here? Got some more honest people in that one. You know, so let me ask another question. Maybe we'll get everybody. Has anybody had fears since you've been saved? That ought to be about everybody. Has anybody ever had defeats in your life since you've been saved? So we look at this thing and says, well, man, why didn't me being born again deliver that? Well, there's a reason, because we do not understand completely what he delivered. And we have not become one with what he said about freedom. And I hope today, and possibly next week, whatever, that there will be an understanding that we can become intimate with freedom, with the provision of freedom and what came at our salvation. We do not understand that salvation opens the doors to freedom. True freedom. It opens the door. It says here, you know, you remember that? So he says over in, I think it's Galatians 5:1, says, don't be entangled again, but he said, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. So reverse that. He says, I set you free. It's like being out of prison. I've set you free. So once you get out of that prison, guess what you get to do? You're free to go live life. But see, the thing is, we don't live life with his freedom. We don't live life the way we want to live it. We live life the way he designed us to live it. And that's the reason we're born again. That's the reason we are his children. That's the reason we're here on this earth to be able to do that. But see, the problem is, this is one thing, I read this statement and I said, you know, that is so true. It said, the problem is our sinning did not cease at the profession of our faith. Did anybody's sinning, did it go away after you were saved? No. No. But what happened was, he paid for every one of them that you had done and that you're doing and that you're going to do. He paid for how much of it?
All.
Say it loud.
All.
Every bit of it. He paid for it all. All of it. But see, we think, okay, since I made the profession of faith, I shouldn't be having any trouble with that. See, there's Jericho moments in our life that we get instant, boom, instant deliverance. I've had some of those. Have you? If you've had some instant, look, raise your hand. Instantly taken. I had cigarettes, instantly taken. So that's some of the behavioral things. My sins was gone. You understand what I'm saying? So we have these things that we need to understand, that these same mistakes, these same failures, and actually after we had these mistakes that we've done before, how many of you add some new ones to it? Oh, I got three or four that says I even added some new ones to it. You know, three or four, but actually you three or four, all of us did. We just ain't gonna own up to it. Now, you hear me? Yeah, so all these things I used to do and then I don't really want to do it. And, not all this kind of, and Paul said the same thing. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Paul talked about that struggle. We need to understand that struggle was with us as well. And with us as well. But we need to understand this thing about salvation and this thing about freedom. Let me tell you this. What we say is not what we believe. Is it sunk in yet? Have you ever said, I believe that? Like the man taking a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls on the tight wire and he's rolling the wheelbarrow. I said, anybody believe I can do that? Yeah, I believe it. Get in. Oops. What did I say? You said you believed it. So what we say doesn't mean that's what we believe. What we believe is what we will live out and do. Do you hear me? If we really believed it, you'll get in the wheelbarrow. You hear me? See, that's the difference. So what did he say about freedom? So let's find out. Number one, justification. Justification. Over in Romans chapter 4, 25 said, He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered over for all of our sin and transgressions. He died. But yet at the same time, he died for our sin, but he also died for our justification. What is justification? Just as if what? Just as if I've never sinned. It is, you're innocent. You're rendered innocent. Tell your neighbor, innocent. Innocent. You want to be innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
When it comes to crime or anything like that, you know. But the thing is, innocent. You are justification at your new birth. You are rendered what? Innocent, not guilty. Shout hallelujah. Listen, these are some of the things that we need to understand. This is how we are to live out the innocence that he said, I've made you innocent. I've paid for you. I've made it innocent. Paid for it all. Free, not guilty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, see, it's our faith in what he's done. It's not our faith doesn't do it. Our faith in what he's done. Our belief and our trust in what he's done. That doesn't mean that, okay, you say I'm justified. Hear me? But are you living like you're justified? Well, you might not be believing that you're really justified, that you're really innocent. He said, you're innocent. Through the work of the cross, through Christ. He says, you're justified by faith, and you have peace. Peace with God. That word peace means to be set at one again. He set you at one with him again. So he said, your justification comes because of Christ, and because you have justification, because I've set you to be innocent, you have peace with me. You have peace with God. You're at one with God. Yes, amen. That is right. That is the truth. That is who. That's what he's done for me, and that's how I need to live. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the verse 2, I don't think we have it on verse 26. It says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. Free? I'm free. All these sins that I've done, all these sins of all time, he's forgiven. He's forgiven. Completely. And he's granted me access to the grace to be able to live out everything that he wants me to live out, because that's what I'm standing in. That's what he says, that we now stand. So our problem is we don't stand in what he's given. We fail to have harmony and have oneness and have the oneness of Scripture, to know that Scripture, to be able to be set free and to be able to be made free and to be free indeed. Because when we don't have that, we won't live that. So he says, okay, so justification, innocent. You have peace. You've been made right with God. You're one with God. Aren't you glad you're at one with God? Jesus said that. He said, you and I are one, and Father, you and I, in his prayer to the Father, he said, you and I are one. He said, just like you and I are one, we're one. He has made us one. Through Jesus Christ, he has made us one with God. No more distance. In Romans chapter, I don't think we have this one either, but Lynn, I do apologize. I gave her a long list of scriptures, but this morning it was flooding me. It was just kept coming. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. What do you say about that? What do you say? Because you've been innocent, there's no wrath of God for you. Why? But the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. He's not going to look and say, oops, I made a mistake, Terry. I didn't cover that one that you just did. So I'm going to pour out my wrath on you. He didn't do that. So you begin to see that this thing of justification is extremely important. That we need to be at one with the wrath of God. See, this thing of justification has been done. But it has been done the day we accepted Christ, the day we said yes to God, the day that we repented, the day we had faith in He is who He is. He did for me what He said He did. And I say yes to it. It made a position truth, a positional truth for me of being justified. That's my position. My condition and my action may not look like it. But every time my condition begins to line up with what He said, it'll look like it. That's the struggle of our Christian walk. We actually think that God's going to block robots. We've got to, I cannot do that. No, He wants that from the heart. That has to be from the heart. That has to be from a desire. See, we don't come to church out of duty. If we do, we're doing it legalistically and we're not doing it out of love. We're coming to church out of desire. A desire to be with the body of Christ. A desire to be in the presence of God together. You know, it's like this. I know God's here. You know why? I brought Him. I did. I brought Jesus with me. So did you if you're born again. Anyway. So it's the positional truth is that we're innocent. We have peace with God. We are free from the wrath of God. And we have access to the grace that He says will equip you to be able to live out everything that I want you to live out. You don't have to muster it up and have the willpower and I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Well, you can think you can all day long, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So number two, what is number two after justification? There's a lot more about justification. Number two, free from the penalty of sin. I got five people that says amen. That's good. Amen. See, that's the problem. I'm not saying you have to say amen, but see, the problem is a lot of times we're free from the penalty of sin, but we don't act like it because we not a lot of times we don't believe it. That's the reason we hide from God. Because we fear the penalty. I always felt, now y'all have heard me say this before, growing up I always was afraid of the penalty of God finding me. Because it wasn't going to be pretty. Because I was taught that way. God's going to get you. Well, guess what? God's already got me. But I wasn't got the way they said I'd be gotten. Begotten. So you begin to see that this thing, He said, no, you're free from the penalty of sin. Colossians 2, verse 13 said, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him. Stop. He made you alive together with Him. You're alive. We're alive together with Him. We're free from the dead. Let's go on. Having forgiven us how many?
All.
Once again?
All
of them. You're alive with me. How many transgressions you got? None. Why? I'm alive together with Him. He's made me what? Innocent. Given I'm innocent. This is position. Are you saying you don't do anything? Matter of fact, we had one person when I had a stone here to make a comment, says, okay, he must be thinking that he has arrived his perfection and he's going to cast the first stone. A member here in this church said that to another member. I'm not going to call his name, but his initials are Michael. I said it wrong. No. Now, it's all good humor. It really is. But see the anyway, we have this thing. He goes on, he says, how did this happen? He said, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Canceled out, blotted out. Let's go on. The certificate of debt. The debt that you had, that you and I had, he canceled that, blotted it out completely. Completely. I'm hearing this stuff and studying it. It is just like, it's like I had renewal. Every time I'd go back to it, it was like a renewal for me. It's like, God, this is good. This is you. Help us to live this out. Help me to live this out. He said these things were hostile to you, but he canceled the certificate of debt, and he has taken it out of the way. What does that mean? It's not in the front of me anymore. In my way of walking, it's not in front of me anymore. He said, I've taken that out of the way. I can't do that. Look at what I've done. You know, I struggled personally. I struggled as a member of this house when Pastor Roger asked me to pray about coming on board and being the associate pastor or being the administrative pastor. I was like, I can't do that. I can't, no. He said, well, you know, go pray about it and let me know. 8 months later, he came to me again and said, the elders wanted me to approach you again. He said, did you pray about that? And I said, nope. I wasn't going to lie to him. I didn't pray about it. Why didn't you pray about it? And I said, look, have you seen my life? Have you seen the things I've done? He said, he didn't say anything, just go pray about it. Went and prayed about it, and the knees hit the floor, and right in the middle of that, peace. It was like, everything went like dead silence. No ambient noise, nothing. It was just an instant. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me in my heart. Let the peace of God rule your heart. I knew then. This is what he wants me to do. I'm going to go do this. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to do. But see, the thing is, he said, I've canceled all that. See, the world will hold these things in front, and the enemy will hold this in front of you. Looky here. Looky. You ever heard? Looky what you've been doing. Look. You know, the thing when the enemy ever reminds me, and he has, reminds me of things that I've done in my past and that I did something wrong or I said something wrong, I have developed a discipline in my life to say, you're right. I did do that. See, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. I said, you're right. I did do that. And because you remind me of that, I'm going to go speak to Barbara and ask her to forgive me. Anything else you want to remind me of, Satan? Because I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to just walk with God and humble yourself when you need to be humble. Ask forgiveness. And I've eliminated, I'm sorry. I've eliminated, I apologize. I've sort of eliminated that from my vocabulary when it comes to making things right with people. And the reason being, do you know how that happened? It happened years ago, and believe it or not, with me and Brenda. I told her, I said, I'm sorry. Brenda said, I know. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It wasn't, I know that you're really sorry. I know you're sorry. It hit me, so I can't use that word anymore. So what I do now is that I was wrong. I was wrong when? Will you forgive me? No justification. I was wrong, but let me tell you. You don't need any of that. I was wrong. When I said, when I did, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, I've done my part. What is their part? To forgive you or not. That's left up to them. That's the reason you can do that. And you can actually say, okay, Satan, if there's anything else you're going to remind me of, now's the time to do it, because I'm on a roll here. I'm giving it. Hey, listen, anything. Hey, this stuff's being lined up. It's not just I'm innocent, but I am innocent, and I'm going to live out my life like I'm innocent, and that he has paid for that, then I'm going to go ask personal forgiveness to the person. Oh, the Christian life. Oh, this is good stuff. It really is. It's good stuff. He goes on and he says, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So let me ask you this. What was nailed to the cross? Certificate of debt. Who was nailed to the cross? Jesus. Jesus is your certificate of the debt. He's paying the debt by being nailed to the cross. Took it out of the way. Took it. Where? Out of the way. Where is it? It's out of the way, Terry. Don't be looking for it. But I've done it. It's out of the way, Terry. I've already paid for that. Then he goes on and says, when, in verse 15, and when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them. It hit me yesterday. He made a public display of them. You know, and I'm not going to go into all the tradition of the way it used to be in the days when the kings would win, they'd have the parade. I'm not going to go into all that. But I am going to say he made a public display. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, why did he have to make a public display of that? You know what came to me? Because there was a public display of his crucifixion from the enemy, thinking he's finally won. He's defeated Jesus as a public display. But here's what happened. He rose from the dead. And because he's rose from the dead, he said, I've already defeated that one. So he openly, in public, makes a display that he has overcome the death, the burial, and the grave. And not only that, but his followers, his believers, are no longer under your power. No. Oh. No longer enslaved to sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 says this. It said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you're healed. You begin to see that he has done this. This is called free from the penalty of sin. There's no more penalty of sin. And how do we know that? Look, Romans 8:1 says this. Therefore, now there is, talk to me, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what condemnation? You're in Christ Jesus, you've been born again, he's in you, you're in him. So what condemnation do you have? So, zero, none. What if I do wrong? No condemnation. Well, are you giving me? No, he said there is no condemnation in him. Now, there's some consequences for our actions, but he didn't condemn. See, this word condemnation means a sentence or a verdict that has been passed for you to be guilty. Doesn't exist in Jesus. It doesn't exist. That is just so good. Well, that's 2 out of 9. I don't even know if I'll be able to finish it next week. You got one more? Got time for one more? We're free from the penalty of sin, but we're also free from the power of sin. We used to be under the power of sin, under the power of Satan. But now we're not. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You died with him. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him. Your old nature was crucified with him. In order that our body of sin might be done away with. The old nature. That we would no longer be slaves to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. No longer. But I do. That's true. That's part of our struggle. Because our behaving has not caught up with his provision. So you begin to see that it's been done away with, and we're no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died, we've died with him, is freed from sin. Notice he said freed from sin, not free of sin. You can still choose to sin. See, before you was born, you had to sin. You didn't have a choice. You made a choice, but it's still sin. But now you're freed from sin. See, you don't have to sin today. We sin voluntarily. None of us want to say that because we're so close in religion sometimes that we sin. Now, that's the reason I told the pastor. He said, I don't sin on purpose. And I said, I do. He said, I ain't believing you said that. And I said, well, I said it and I meant it and I'm here to represent it. I said, listen, when somebody's done something and I have a feeling that I need to be angry about this. They did me wrong. And if I go that way, guess what I've done? I've chosen to do that. I volunteered to do that. And I said, now, are you telling me you haven't voluntarily sinned since you've been saved? I said, conversation over. When we capture this of his provision, our walking and our living out will be more Christ-like than ever before. So you begin to see that knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Let's look at verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. Bless you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Free from the dominion, free from the penalty. There's no more penalty. He's taken the penalty. And free from the power, free from having to. Don't have to anymore. That's three of about nine. Did you get anything out of it? All right, listen, they're just so good. So good. So some of you, a few of you, or maybe, who knows? Some of you may not say, yeah, I don't even know what he's talking about today. One reason, because you don't know who he is. I loved it when the kids today, they signed some things as they were singing that song, and then when I got to be with him, they'd go, him. Him. It's all about him. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe he doesn't know you. He knows who you are, but he doesn't know you as one of his. If that's you, today's your day. Today's your day. If that's not you, maybe it's you that says, my goodness, I'm living outside of my liberties, my freedoms. I'm living outside of my freedoms. And I really want to say, God, I'm yours, you're mine. I'm innocent, you've made me innocent. Show me more of these truths that I can become one with, and it will make me even freer than what I am today. If that's you and you'd like to be that as your prayer, stand to your feet. I just want these freedoms to be completely mine. Every one of these freedoms need to be mine. God bless you. Father, I thank you. Now, before I pray, is anybody here says, I need to be born again? I want you to, you're standing, and maybe you're standing. You raise your hand. I need to be born again today. I need to say yes to Jesus. Is there anybody here today? Okay, we're all family. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see. Oh, you raising your hand, dear? Yes, you are raising your hand. Amen. Amen. Do you mind if Eric comes and prays with you? Don't mind? Go right over there and pray with her. She's ready to receive Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this one that said, yes, I surrender. I heard the gospel. I heard the good news. I want in on it. You're mine and I'm yours. Father, these that are standing today that are saying, I want all the freedoms and I want to be living out every freedom that you've given me. And Lord, we stand today saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive what you've given. You've already done it. It's my position. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to change my condition of living. And I ask you in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Amen. That means he has already eaten today. And we filled up on his goodness. Amen. We got just a few announcements, and then we're going to dismiss here. First and foremost, today is the last day to register your baby for baby dedication. If you want to have your baby dedicated at the end of the month, that's coming up the last Sunday of this month. Also, want to remind those who are volunteering for VBS that you have a meeting today at 2:30 for all VBS volunteers. For the entire church, if you could, in the coming weeks, Bring clean trash bags. Bring any clean trash bags you have for the next 2 weeks. It's going to be used in VBS. We can't tell you how, but it will be used. What is it? Trash. Excuse me. Trash. Clean trash. Or a bag full of trash. Clean trash. Clean trash. Clean. Didn't bring my reading glasses. All right, now this is important. This last one's important. This is for everyone in here. Pastor's done a great job telling us how we're free. We're free, amen. But that does not mean you're free to park wherever you want. No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. Darren and the team would like me to humbly ask you guys, if you can, if you need help, if parking is full and parking too far and you still need some help, come see them, but don't park in areas that are not parking spots. And the reason is we're blocking traffic, and that's creating a hazard. We've got to have access up here for the van to come in and out. We have to have emergency access in some other areas. So please park in parking spots, okay? Don't want to be heavy-handed here, but it's just for safety reasons why. And if you're handicapped, we have all of this up here is for handicapped parking. And if it's full and you need handicapped parking, see one of the gentlemen that's in the thing. They will help you. We'll come get you. We'll park wherever's available and bring you, transport you. We'll do whatever. We will make accommodations, okay? But just don't park in an area. And if you are not handicapped, that's for handicapped parking only. Okay? Let's honor that, because we want, listen, I am my brother's keeper, right? And I don't want to see someone that can't walk having to struggle up a hill when they didn't have to. Amen? Let's just honor that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, thank you for you. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so good to us, and you're a good God. And we thank you for everything you've done for us in this moment, in this message, in this worship service today, Lord. And we will carry it out of here and affect change in every place we go because of what you did inside of us today. We honor you, we glorify you, and we say, be our God as we be your people. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.